So what would be the prevailing attitude of the Sabbath? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
We would have this attitude toward it that, listen, there's many sporting events in our day, so as long as we don't do it very often, we're consistent, it's okay to break it every now and then. Would you say that with murder? Would you say that with adultery? So who gives us the liberty to pick what we like in the commandments and what we don't? Is the fourth commandment less of a commandment than the sixth, thou shalt not murder?
Well, that is the question we're exploring today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our program. We're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, and today we're looking at the Sabbath and to keep it holy and why and what that means for you and I today here in the 21st century. Why Christians still keep the Sabbath. Here's Pastor Chris, and today is Abounding Grace.
They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they daily gather." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a solemn day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, and Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. And there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath, is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept." The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And Omer is the 10th part of an ephah. There we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, a few weeks ago, in our consideration of the Ten Commandments as we've been working through these, I said that there really is no other commandment other than the fourth that has probably been, we looked at the second commandment, which has also not been as appreciated as it should. But the fourth has been one that has been constantly not appreciated and challenged in our day. And it's probably one of the commandments, I would say, that's surrounded with the most controversy, isn't it? The second, a close rival. But both those two commandments have been a challenge for Christians, and no less were they a challenge for Israel. Did you notice how much of a challenge surrounding the fourth commandment Israel had to face in the wilderness, given this great command to rest? How much fighting there was against this great command to rest? Engage someone today about Sunday and say that we need to come to worship. If you really want to spark a controversy, just say you need to Sabbath. Even the word today is sort of repulsive to many Christians. And to think of it as a vital part of the Christian life and the pattern and the rhythm of the Christian life is a struggle for people. I think most people would say, listen, we understand that there was that for Israel, but Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. So why would we then continue to keep that? That's the answer. Even though throughout history, that argument may be a little more peculiar to our times. I still love every time I preach on this commandment, we have runners in our family mentioning Eric Little and how even when he was in the Olympics, you remember that, in the 1924 Olympics, and was the fastest runner in the Olympics and could have stepped up on the Sabbath and run and won the Olympics, remember, he had a great conscience issue on that. He knew that to do that would be breaking the Sabbath day. Here we are, you know, how many years later, and who even thinks about this? Who even thinks this is an important command? So that's the issue that I want to wrestle with today. We would have this attitude toward it that, listen, there's many sporting events in our day, so as long as we don't do it very often, we're consistent, it's okay to break it every now and then. Would you say that with murder? Would you say that with adultery? So who gives us the liberty to pick what we like in the commandments and what we don't? Is the fourth commandment less of a commandment than the sixth, thou shalt not murder? Or the seventh, thou shalt not commit adultery? Do you get to occasionally break that? You see the challenge here up front, that this has been the one that gets the pass. And that's the sort of rugged individualism of Americans, and that's sort of the challenge that we face when looking at this great fourth commandment. So that's my question tonight. Does it still stand? And what about this question that Christ has fulfilled it? And I want to look briefly at this commandment from in the Old Covenant as Israel received it, with the goal of looking tonight at the ultimate intention of this great day of rest from creation. The blessing that it was intended to be to us, showing you in fulfillment what Christ intends for you to enjoy in this day. See, that's really what the heart of the Heidelberg's after. What am I to enjoy in this day? Why am I fighting against that? The fourth commandment reads, as you know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. And it goes into us or those who serve us and all of that. That was in the context of Israel's history. Well, here we are in a particular test case for Israel. Israel's in the wilderness of sin. As we enter this text, we see already this sort of fight with the Lord. And it's really a striking moment at the beginning of chapter 16. that they're already grumbling against him. We haven't even gotten that far. We haven't even got to Sinai. And they're already unhappy with the Lord. You see how this is a kind of a test. That's why we say Christian life is really a testing ground. We're often dissatisfied with the Lord's ways because what the Lord is drawing out of from us is a trust in him. A trust in him for everything. Everything. And so when you open up chapter 16 and you read this great statement, I mean, what a statement, isn't it? Oh, that we would have died. Listen to this. By the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by those big pots of meat. And when we ate bread to the full. That was so great. When we were in Egypt. Think about the craziness of this statement. When we were in bondage, 7 days a week with no rest. Remember Pharaoh's bricks and straw, boys and girls? He didn't give them rest. Oh, but their meat was good. You see, oh, that we would have died, for you brought us out in this wilderness to kill us with hunger. In fact, the book of Numbers describes one of the things that they became discouraged along the way. All of this discouragement happened. And the real thing that we learn from Israel up front, and when we take this and understand how all this was meant to be a help to us, to learn for us, that the wilderness life is a life of struggle, isn't it? Wilderness life is a life of hardship. Wilderness life is a life of pain and loss. And struggle to survive at times. Little did they expect this. God saved them. God passed them through the sea. They sang a great song of deliverance on the other side. The horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea. And then things got a little rough, and out came the complaints. The entire wilderness struggle was to capture the life of, intended by the author of Exodus, to capture the life of sanctification. The crossing over the sea event was the cross-like event. And the song of salvation had been sung. And now they're heading home. They're heading home. They're on a pathway going somewhere. Remember, Paul, this morning? You have an upward calling. You're going somewhere. Well, Deuteronomy gives us an indication of the purpose in this test that we have here right in Exodus chapter 16. In Deuteronomy 8, listen to what is said here. That of the Lord's great intention as he tested Israel in the wilderness, when he said this, so he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know, this was the heart of it, that man shall not live by bread alone, but that the way you are to live walking through the wilderness, the way you are to survive walking through the wilderness, is to live in trust by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's your meat. That's your food. And what did he do for you? Well, your garments didn't wear out. Nor did your foot swell those 40 years. You shall know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. So you see this heart of this test. How are you going to live through the wilderness? Are you going to complain, and are you going to say, this is hard, and I don't like this, and I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to do things my way, and I'm going to say really to the Lord and all of that, you should have just left me alone to begin with. You see, that's the spirit of this. Well, when we go back to verse 4, it's kind of surprising what the Lord does. He doesn't thunder down on them here, does he? What does he do? He feeds them. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And again, it's picked up in verse 22. So it was on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. This is what I want you to proclaim tomorrow in Israel. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today. Boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. Now, here we are at the beginning of the wilderness journey, but we find it shocking that Moses here, that God made it clear to Moses that Israel was to keep this holy day. It's a remarkable thought. They're no longer under the cruel oppression of Pharaoh's work schedule anymore. No more bricks without straw. No more whips. No more beating. No more hard taskmasters. No more running around. No more servitude. No more working hard to live and survive. The bondage in Egypt 24/7. There was no practice of Sabbath, it seemed, in Egypt. So what's fascinating here is that the Lord breaks their bondage. He sets them free. He brings them through the sea, resurrects them to a new life. And the Lord wanted to teach them as soon as they got in the wilderness, trust me. Trust me. I'll care for you. I'll feed you. I'll love you. Every seventh day, I want you to cease, stop. So what it means. And I want you to take delight in me. And I want you to stop all your work. You've been in bondage to that your whole life. And I want you to pattern me. How so? Well, he lavishes down upon them a gift. In the test is a gracious gift that was handed to them. A gracious gift. A good gift. He says, here, enjoy a Sabbath. Just stop. Just rest. The Sabbath was an anticipation for the day. Did you notice how this passage ends? When they get to the border of the land and they won't need the manna anymore, they will enter their final rest. So they will have arrived once they cross the border. It won't need to be like this. Sabbath, which means Shabbat, means to rest, anticipated the rest that was to come for them. And notice here that it says in verse 35, the children of Israel ate manna 40 years. Until they came to the inhabited land, they ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And Joshua 5:12 says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan. Wow. So you see the picture. The manna was given to them in the wilderness by God in their struggles, in their hardships, to sustain them, that the Lord would provide for them. And then once they finally got to the land, they would no longer need it. They could eat freely. You know, all that was designed to teach you about your life. All this. That the wilderness is a picture of the struggles we're going through life. Canaan is a type of the new heavens and the new earth that's coming. And when we get to the new heavens and the new earth, there'll be no more enemies. They will be cleansed from the land. Israel failed in that. The Lord will do that. It'll be perfect. There'll be no more sin, no more tears, no more sorrow. And once we arrive, Revelation 22 says, bookend to Genesis, once we arrive, we directly eat from the tree of life. Point is, until then, we're not there yet. You're in the wilderness. And the Lord said to them, stop. So 6 days he would rain down the manna, and then every day they would go and gather it. He'd provide for them every day. He'd take care of them. How much do you worry about that? How much do you worry about retirements and money and planning? And looking at accounts, seriously, why are you doing that? Well, I do it. I don't have that much. And the point is, that's what we do. And the Lord says, I'll care for you. I'll care for you. 6 days, go gather. Go gather, go gather, go work. And then on that last day, I'll give you twice as much. So you don't have to go out on the seventh day. So day by day, they were taught to trust the Lord, that he would provide for them in the wilderness and that he would care for them. And he actually rained down from heaven bread for them at their doorsteps. And, I mean, wonderful. And then he gave them meat. So this was an important thing. And you look at your lives and how the Lord has cared for you. Maybe your soles of your feet are worn out. I think you could go get better shoes. Look how he's cared for you in the wilderness. Look how he's loved you. Look how he's provided for you. So the Sabbath became a key marker of faith in Israel. Understand that. It was a commandment that called for faith. But what's so striking about this commandment tonight is that it did not originate. Think of somebody who comes up and says, yeah, but that was for Old Testament Israel. Had you noticed that we haven't got to Sinai yet? In other words, the Ten Commandments haven't been given yet in Israel. What that means then is God was bringing to Israel something that had been set in creation. Remember in creation? Thus the heavens, Genesis 2, and the earth were, and the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work in which he had done and rested. More literally, he sabbathed on the seventh day from his work which he had done. And then he commanded us to keep it, we know, later on. But it was never something that was divorced from what we were supposed to be in patterning that work rest pattern after our maker being made in his image from the beginning. So on the seventh day, God rested. And as his image bearer, he wanted that throughout history. God Sabbath to do what? What did he tell us? What did he tell us about his creation? It was good. He was teaching us about taking delight in his works. To delight in him. To glorify him. To enjoy him forever. That's what the day was intended to do.
It is amazing how we have changed the very nature, idea, and understanding of this fourth commandment. And it is amazing how it is so radically changed how much we disregard this command. Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
This was such to be a day of blessing and provision. What is the first thing we hear when you say, you know, you really should stop and Sabbath and keep the day holy? You're being legalistic. Who is? You want to go work? Who's being legalistic? No. We're telling you not to work, but to rest. See? See how the devil twisted that? We have a natural tendency to wreck God's good gifts. And this is exactly what happened. And this is what happened in Israel to the Sabbath. The Pharisees grabbed the Sabbath and they made people a servant of the Sabbath. This is what happened in Jesus' day. I remember when they were walking through the grain fields and they needed to eat. The Sabbath wasn't made to say people wouldn't eat. Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was giving bread to his disciples, wasn't he? He created the Sabbath and he claimed the Sabbath right there. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Not to get rid of the Sabbath or say the Sabbath is discontinued, but to say that when I gave the Sabbath, it was meant to be a gracious provision from me.
Well, there is much more ground to cover. We'll do so tomorrow as we continue our look at command number 4, honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.